I think we are looking at significant supply growth for the foreseeable future, probably peaking at about 8 million barrels a day of oil and over 100 years of supply of gas. So I think the supply side is pretty secure. I think on the safety and environmental side, I think there have been some significant missteps by industry, initially resisting disclosure, which was a huge mistake. And now the conversation, I think, has evolved to concerns about wellbore safety. Can you make sure that none of the gas gets into drinking water aquifers? And then methane emissions. Can you capture the methane that comes up from the wellbore and through the pipelines? And water safety. Can you make sure that the produced water is secured and recycled and disposed of in a safe way? So I think there are technological answers to ensure that safety can be provided throughout the entire value chain. The question is whether or not the regulations, primarily state regulations, are requiring that those best practices be used, and whether or not there's sufficient enforcement capability state by state to make sure that the low-cost producers, the ones that are thinly capitalized, do the right thing, and if not, that they're punished.
You mentioned 100 years of gas supply. What do you think that means for the much hoped for in Alaska gas line that has been talked about for decades? And it seemed for a time that maybe it would come to fruition because gas prices were rising across the world. And then, of course, the shale explosion in energy development in the lower 48. What do you think this means for the viability of Alaska gas?
Well, I think the future of Alaskan gas is for export, not for consumption in the continental United States. That said, the opportunities for export of natural gas are really quite robust on a worldwide basis. From a climate change perspective, there is enormous opportunity to substitute gas for coal and in parts of the world for biomass. So there's an awful lot of demand. But it's a challenge. There's a lot of stranded gas in the world. And the ability to move that gas, to produce it at an economically recoverable rate, to build a transportation system that is cost-effective, and then to liquefy it and transport it is not easy. And I think Alaska is going to have to compete for that opportunity with Australia and Qatar and a number of others.
All of this fossil fuel development is, of course, up against the backdrop of a changing climate, especially in Alaska, where it's happening much faster than other parts of the country and the world. Do you address this in your book, and what do you think needs to happen to mitigate those climate concerns?
It's really addressed throughout the book. Dr. Moniz and other authors talk about it as well. I think we've got an opportunity from this oil and gas boom in the U.S. and the tight gas boom, if it propagates worldwide, to get some short and medium-term greenhouse gas reductions. And that's because for the next 10 years, we can get more greenhouse gas reductions by substituting gas for coal and for biomass and in places like the Middle East for oil, which they burn for electricity, than we can from any other technology in the market. So I think we really need to secure those gains and embrace natural gas for now. But we're never going to get to 50% reductions by 2050 until we have some technological breakthroughs, and those are on carbon sequestration and utility-scale battery storage,